You're in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. It is Friday, January 7th, the final Friday of the NFL's regular season of 2021 to 2022. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Kyle Soppe here filling in for the chair of Daniel Dopp today. Matthew, how you doing, my friend?
Well, it's our last Friday. Yeah. It's our last Friday show of the regular season, so yeah. I'm good. It's bittersweet.
Okay.
You know, I'm excited. I'm excited for the end of the season, but it's also sad because I miss you guys.
Yeah.
It's weird that that Daniel Dopp, as I sit here and I'm looking at my hair, what little I have left, got a little wind blown on my way into the studio. It's upsetting. You know, like, it's like I don't have a lot of hair, and yet what little I have is out of place. So
mine too.
If you didn't have that long flowing comb over, then you wouldn't feel it.
What do you mean? I don't have a long flowing comb over. What do you, there's nothing to comb over. It's a big bald spot. Starfanya, thank you.
How do you feel your hair blowing? I'm just curious.
You know what? Can I first?
I didn't say my hair was flowing. It's not.
No, you said blowing. You said wind blown.
Yeah, it was blowing. It was like a little. Like it was like. Look, it's a little like. You know,
phantom hair.
Can I pull the curtain back for a second? While your hair, whatever. We hear about your hair all the time. Can I pull? Because this is actually important.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I would say the normal order of operations in terms of arrivals here on the show,
right?
Probably to the surprise of nobody. So Kyle is here at like midnight. Kyle's here. Yeah. Like he wakes up
Kyle
in the studio
here.
Somehow. Yes.
Kyle sleeps here.
And then I would say, generally speaking, it tends to be me next. Yeah. Not a little bit, after midnight. Not
sure.
I mean, and then Stefania. And then sometimes it flip flops. I think some days Stefania beats me in. But generally her and I are second and third into the show. And then Matthew shows up like, I don't know.
No, 30 seconds before.
About that much. Anyways. Right. Stefania, though, came in after me this morning, and Stefania looked like a Hollywood star this morning. Like,
she always does.
I know, but like to the max. So people that don't...
I was wrapped up in my winter. I was a snow bunny this
morning. We got about 6 inches of snow here in Central Connecticut over the night, and Stefania came in, and she had her customary winter coat, which is a big puffy black coat, with a black bucket hat as well, and then she had her mask on, which is a requirement at ESPN when we're not on the air. So you could see, like, barely Stefania's like nose, maybe her eyeline. That was it. And I was like, if Stefania wanted to go incognito in New York, I could have been convinced she was anybody at that time, but definitely an A-list star like she is.
Oh, sometimes she turns on full Starfanya mode. I've seen it before.
Yeah,
I've
this
seen
morning it was on.
We've posted pictures of it as well. Where
I didn't
she's,
have the glasses, but I did have my faux fur leopard gloves on.
So there you go.
To compliment the outfit.
You know, it's like sometimes you got to remind the people that you are the star of this show, which I think people who watch it all the time kind of know that already. But for those that maybe just pop in every once in a while, they were reminded the star of the show.
Just the Survivor League champ.
Not just, but one of your many talents that you are the Survivor League champion. You are also the people's champion. You're beloved. You're the queen of the 06010. And, you know, I'm bittersweet. I'm bittersweet. I don't know why Daniel is already taking time off immediately.
Right.
You know, just immediately bailing on us. Like, it's like one last show, dude.
I believe he's going to the Lions game. He's tailgating already because there's a lot on the line on Sunday. If they lose and the Jaguars win, they get the first pick in the draft.
Let's go.
I think they want to win. I think this is one of those years where 2-1 is not nearly as consequential as it has been in previous years. But Daniel will be back on Monday.
By the way, speaking of the Jaguars, jury's still out as if one was consequential last year.
Wow, Matthew, why do you hate Trevor Lawrence? We'll dive into that this offseason. I want to be fair because I think that one thing I've realized this year is that too often what happens in a lot of sports media, and I'm trying to become less guilty of this, is that if you and I disagree on something, you have to believe that you are right. I have to believe that I am right. And people just choose sides and inevitably it becomes like a popularity contest or a vote. Right. Whereas like, I think it's fair to point out that Trevor Lawrence's circumstances are just tremendously awful. Right.
Awful.
I mean, poor coaching, poor offensive line, I would say an average skill group around him that has been impacted by injuries, DJ Chark and James Robinson, a bunch of guys, right? Simultaneously, he has not improved in notable ways throughout the year, right? We've seen one rookie quarterback that has really kind of carried his end of the bargain from start to finish this year,
Mac Jones.
He's been sharp. Others, the jury is still out. Trevor's got some stuff he's got to work on, no doubt. But I am going to chalk this up to a mulligan season.
You can absolutely grade Trevor Lawrence's rookie year on a bell curve. Mm-hmm. There is no question about that. I agree with you. I think the critics of Trevor Lawrence would say, asked and answered, all acknowledged. But here's the thing. If you're billed as a generational talent, if you're billed as the best quarterback prospect since this side of Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning,
that's
coming out of college, which is what he was considered, then the bar's a little bit higher, right? Did Peyton Manning have a rough rookie year? He did, but you saw improvement, and there were moments during Peyton Manning's rookie year where you're like, oh, okay, I sort of, you know what I mean? Like,
I think he threw 28 touchdown passes or something.
He had 18 interceptions. But
no,
also,
I think it was 29 interceptions.
Oh, was it 29?
28 and 29. Like, it was, he had to take the good with the bad, but there was more. I think that's fair. Like, and like, you can say that, and by the way, and still be a huge Trevor believer, which I am. And like, and my perception would change if things don't get better next year. Look, but I see what you're saying.
I we've talked about this last year in our Dynasty League. I purposely tanked for Trevor. I knew the cards were, I had a bunch of injuries, including Christian McCaffrey last year. And so I knew it wasn't going to be my year. And so I purposely tanked for Trevor, and I was open about that among the league. So I have Trevor as, you know, one of the cornerstones of my dynasty team in our league. So I am pro Trevor. I am hopeful for Trevor, but to your point, it has not gone the way anyone in Jacksonville or, you know, honestly, from probably Trevor's point of view, I'm sure he's frustrated as well.
26 touchdowns, 28 picks. Kyle, correct me. That was Peyton Manning's rookie year stats. Kyle is here today. Daniel will be back on Monday.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, a reminder that if Daniel's not here, the rest of us will be, because Monday is our 2021 Fantasy Focus Award Show. It's 10 of the most prestigious awards, not just in fantasy, but in the world.
Yeah.
Up for grabs, 11 a.m. Eastern time on all of our usual video platforms.
It's as far as I can tell, and I've done extensive research on this, it's the Pulitzer, it's the Nobel, and it's the 06010Es.
It's like basically all wrapped into one.
That's the order of, like, in terms of prestige. It's the Pulitzer.
Right. Yeah.
Right. I mean, written word, right. That and sure. It's the Nobel.
Right.
Piece, you know, like, that's important, you know, there's also a Nobel Prize for Literature, and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then it's the 06010Es.
Well, you know how Lin-Manuel Miranda, graduate of Wesleyan.
Yeah, of course.
Not recently, because I feel like time is relative, but what was it, 2 years ago, became an EGAT winner, which is you have an Emmy, you have a Grammy, an award, you have an Academy Award, you also have a Tony to your name, which is incredibly prestigious. Like, that's here. A Fantasy Focus 06010 award is, like, further up the ladder.
Yeah.
Like, he may get...
Lin-Manuel Miranda, have you ever won an 06010E? Okay, then.
Yeah.
Listen, our friend John Legend, who we've played in fantasy leagues with for a number of years, he's also an EGOT. But
he
doesn't have
too.
An 06010E. Mm. He, by the way, closer to an EGOT, closer to an 06010E than Lin-Manuel Miranda, because John Legend was, again, part of the Stephen A. Smith Celebrity League, made the playoffs, actually was the number two seed, ended up losing in the semifinals, but had a very good fantasy year once again. He's a hardcore fantasy player, John Legend.
Sort of feels unfair to Lin-Manuel. Yeah. Have we ever invited him into the one of these celebrity leagues?
We have not.
Invitation. Maybe at the
invitation.
Next Wesleyan alumni event. I'll just go bring it up.
What's up?
Yeah, I'm sure that will be persuasive
to Lin-Manuel,
who's not busy with, like, a million different other things.
Yeah, but he is
all the time.
He contributes to the Disney family, so I think he might have a shot.
He's the best. I absolutely love him. He's the coolest person maybe on this earth. So
I can't, when you do it, by the way, just before you do, say, hey, I got an idea. Four words. Fantasy Football, the musical.
Ah.
And just see what he does. Just see what he does with it.
All right. So just a couple more notes on the show on Monday. It's going to be really fun. We're going to get dressed up. Make sure to vote, because you have to do your part, because you have a part of this vote. You can go to @FantasyFocus on Twitter. It's the pinned tweet. And Kyle, it looked like you had something to add there.
No, that's perfect. We've got a few coming down to the wire here. And again, over 9% of the vote comes from the fan vote. So let your voice be heard, and you know, you get to decide who gets a prestigious award.
Voting closes at noon Eastern time on Sunday. Noon Eastern time is the last time for you to vote. Right. Go ahead and get involved. It'll be a very, very fun show. Our director, Lisa, has been working extremely hard. Emmy Award-winning director, Lisa Camerata, has been working hard on the show. It should be a lot of fun. We're going to be in a different location. I will say no more other than to say that this will be worth your time on Monday. Let's get to some injuries and some football. And Stefania, the cases of COVID are not gone. They have decreased this week relative to previous weeks, but that does not mean that we are not seeing notable players go on the COVID-19 list. And we begin in Pittsburgh, where a notable wide receiver has gone there for the second time this season.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson placed on the list on Thursday. So again, under the current NFL protocols, there is the potential that he could test out and be available Sunday, but we'll see if the Steelers make a decision before then.
He missed a game earlier on this year due to COVID. When he has played, he's been awesome. Matthew, just quickly, for those that are still trudging along in week 18, this would seemingly make Chase Claypool a very valuable piece of your roster on Sunday.
He comes in at number 23 for me. Understand that in week 17, Chase Claypool saw 9 targets. He's had 8 or more targets for the past 7 games. Deontay Johnson, I want to say off the top of my head, is averaging over 10 targets a game. And so certainly those get divided up. You'll probably see some James Washington, obviously. But I honestly think that if it wasn't Chase Claypool, give me some Ray McCloud, who we've seen have some success this year. Look, Ben's throwing short this year. He is dinking and dunking. And so Ray McCloud, who will be the slot receiver here, they'll take a couple of deep shots to James Washington. But sure. I think for me, in terms of quote-unquote guaranteed production, I feel like it'll go Claypool and Ray McCloud. Washington, you're hoping for a big one. Hoping for one big play there with James Washington. But I agree with you. Chase Claypool becomes a, high upside wide receiver 3 with Johnson likely to miss. Those 10 targets or so are going to have to go somewhere. And it's a good matchup, obviously, with the Ravens.
Football starts on Saturday this week as we have 2 games, both on the ESPN family of networks, ESPN and ABC. The first one is Kansas City traveling to Denver, Stefania, but a notable piece of their offense did not go with them.
Yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire dealing with that shoulder injury still, not practicing at all this week, and he will be out for Saturday's game.
Which means more of Darrell Williams. And Matthew, if we have learned one thing this year, it is that Darrell Williams, when he gets the chance to start, is a very valuable piece of your fantasy lineup.
He's had 7 games this year with double-digit touches. In those games, he's averaging 18.9 fantasy points per game. I'm at running back 12 this week. I'm ahead of Ezekiel Elliott and DeAndre Swift, just to name a few. Like, again, he's really productive. This is not a matchup that particularly scares you. He's been really, really good. I mean, Denver over the last 4 weeks is 18th against the run. They're in the bottom half of the league in terms of run defense. And it is weird, especially given the pedigree of both players coming to the NFL. But we've noted this multiple times throughout the year that when one guy is in there, Darrell Williams is the better fantasy option than when Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the only guy. Darrell Williams has just been a more productive fantasy running back. And that's something, by the way, that we said when CEH went down for the first time. You and I talked about this on the show, saying, like, I actually think Darrell Williams, I'm not saying he's a more talented running back, but I think he'll be a better fantasy running back than CEH ever was. And so far, that's proven to be true.
We'll see some Derek Gore, but certainly Darrell Williams should be a very busy player. And while there's mountains of evidence about the cases against having a week 18 or week 17 in previous year's championship or the second week of your championship, guys like Darrell Williams are the kind of pieces you are targeting if you're going to play in a championship this week. Stefania, over the past, let's say, 7 or 8 weeks, the Cardinals have been without one of their top 2 running backs more often than not, James Conner and Chase Edmonds. Now both of them are hurt.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds might be a little more banged up than James Conner at this point. James Conner still dealing with the heel injury, listed as a limited participant in practice so far this week. But Chase Edmonds now with a rib injury along with a toe injury has not practiced yet this week. So I think today's a big day.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on whether or not either of them is available to practice in full today. Sounds like maybe both would be limited at best if they do participate. J.J. Watt, by the way, has been designated to return from IR. One thing we found out, though, Matthew, for the Cardinals is that the hard part is when both of them play. When one of them plays, it's pretty straightforward. If James Conner's available and Chase Edmonds is not, and you have James Conner, lineup lock, and vice versa. But when they both play, I don't know.
Right. It's a little bit of like, with James Conner, you're hoping he falls into the end zone. With Chase Edmonds, you're hoping he gets 5-6 catches. Yeah. Exactly. They're playing Seattle, who, by the way, defensively has played better recently. Now, they've also been helped by some of the scheduling, but still, like, it's not it to me. I feel like the way to attack Seattle is in their secondary, not in the run game here. And so I agree with you. I think that's the analysis. This is a good reminder. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. I think you guys should absolutely watch Fantasy Football Now from about 10 a.m. Eastern till about like 12:55.
Wow.
There's nothing happening in the final 5 minutes.
That's really interesting. You mentioned that.
There's absolutely nothing interesting. Tune out early. Get set for the games at 1 o'clock. But 10 a.m. Eastern to about 12:55 p.m. Eastern on ESPN to Fantasy Football Now. We'll get you ready for it, and we'll have all the updates, and we'll know specifically which how many Arizona running backs are active, who they are, and we can give you some better advice then. So certainly tune in there.
James Conner's season-long stats are wild, by the way.
Yeah.
He's got 700 rushing yards, which is like, fine. Not great, right? It's okay. He averages 3.7 yards per carry. He has 16 rushing touchdowns. Scored a Pro Bowl. You see that? Like,
yeah.
Man, that is crazy. What a stat line.
It's an unbelievable stat line, but it's not one that I think is super surprising if you're paying attention. Like he was in my preseason love hate list as a love.
Okay.
And one of the things I talked about, and you and I talked about this in the preseason as well, is that James Conner we felt like was being way undervalued relative to Chase Edmonds. And that we were like, look, Kenyon Drake actually was tied for the NFL lead in goal-to-go carries. It was super weird, but last year when they got in close, Cliff Kingsbury wanted to run the ball, and he gave it to Kenyon Drake. Now, Kenyon Drake was incredibly ineffective, which is one of the reasons why he's now a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. But the idea was like, hey, you've got a guy in James Conner that when he's been healthy has been very productive at scoring. He is somebody that has a nose for the end zone and is good at converting those. And so we think the opportunity is there. The question on James Conner is just health because he's obviously missed a lot of games. So credit to James Conner on a one-year prove-it deal who has mostly stayed healthy this year. And it's been when he's given that opportunity, he has converted.
Sure. Yeah, he has been. I mean, he has been money in the bank. Will be an interesting.
What do you think the offseason market is for him?
I think tepid.
Yeah.
There have been some great stories. And when I say tepid, I mean certainly more robust than last year.
Sure.
He signed a one-year deal worth like $1.25 million. I think maybe $1.75 million max.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot, right?
Could I see a multi-year deal? Maybe if he stays with Arizona and it's fairly team-friendly. Could I see a one-year deal where it's more like $4 to $5 million? Perhaps.
With some incentives in there, right?
Yeah. I just think that there are too many players right now that are either undrafted or like James Conner themselves, where you can say to yourself, like, oh, wait, why would I pay a guy when I can just find the next James Conner, right?
Sure.
And there are players that we've talked about on the show, like as waiver wire fill-ins who help make that case. Deontay Foreman, right? Like, you're going
to
pay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just got to interject here. I don't know what you think, Phil, but I have a hard time seeing big-time contracts for running backs going much longer. Anyway, I think it's going to be more short-term deals, people who can help out on a short-term basis, because it is the most vulnerable position. And I can't wait to go and do like the forensics on this year and see, but you know, find me a running back who doesn't get hurt. It's part of their position.
I think we've got a couple that are in line. I think Jonathan Taylor a year from now, I think the Colts will, assuming that he stays on a regular trajectory. Okay, he doesn't have to have 2,000 rushing yards next year, but if he has another 1,500 plus 12 touchdown, I think the Colts will make that investment. But if you look around the NFL right now, I think smart teams are going to probably eschew making those large commitments to the running back spot. And it's not because we don't love running backs, but just go find a running back contract that start to finish aged extremely well. And I think the best case is probably Derrick Henry's, which he's in year three of a four-year deal. But if, and I hope this isn't the case, but if Derrick Henry comes back next year off this foot injury or comes back in the playoffs and is no longer Derrick Henry, capital letters, then maybe that contract would be in that pile of deals that did not age perfectly. Meanwhile,
there's too many examples of James Conner or James Robinson, an undrafted free agent, or Cordero Patterson at age 30,
a converted
running back. There's too many examples of guys like that. You know, Leonard Fournette, right? I mean, released by the Jaguars, and the Tampa Bay picked him up for a song.
It also sort of proves the yo-yo nature of the position, which I think is going to be something that when we start talking next year about fantasy, we're going to have to remember, because people get written off like they're done, and then look at James Conner.
Well, people also hate in fantasy when coaches use a running back by committee or a hot hand approach, and it's probably evidence that those coaches are smart to do so, because if you just keep bringing a guy down or banging him into the ground for game after 100%. Game after game, you're going to end up in a situation where you have a guy who goes from spry and fresh to old and perhaps dusted pretty quickly. So finally, a couple more injuries at running back. The Buccaneers obviously are not going to have Leonard Fournette until the playoffs, but now they've got some other backfield injuries as well, including Ronald Jones.
Yeah, they barely could be running back by committee if they tried, because Ronald Jones is still in a walking boot. Bruce Arians said on Wednesday, because of the ankle injury that he suffered, still not practicing this week. You mentioned Leonard Fournette, who's out with the hamstring injury, and they're down to Keyshawn Vaughn and Le'Veon Bell.
How about that? Le'Veon Bell and Keyshawn Vaughn. Who would have thought that? If Ronald Jones is out on Sunday, I think I prefer Keyshawn Vaughn to Le'Veon Bell for a couple of reasons. First of all, like, if Le'Veon Bell gets 12 carries, like, he could fall into the end zone, to use that same cliche over and over and over again, but he could also turn 12 carries into like 25 yards and zero touchdowns. And I say, like, yeah, that about makes sense, right? I think Keyshawn Vaughn just has a better chance of turning 12 carries into 50 yards and a touchdown than Le'Veon does, even if Le'Veon gets a handful of targets. And it wouldn't surprise me, by the way, if the Bucs just say, you know what? Why bother running it? Let's just throw it against a Panther secondary that might not have Stephon Gilmore, that may not have C.J. Anderson. Tom Brady needs 488 passing yards to break the NFL's single-season passing yardage mark. Maybe they say, you know, let's go for it, right? Like, the best way to put this week behind them, which we know it's been a week down in Tampa Bay, is to just throw it and throw it and throw it some more. You get the chance to get Mike Evans' 1,000-yard streak continued. Gronk has the chance to make a bunch of money through incentives this weekend if you hit him on enough occasions. Like, maybe the Tampa Bay offense just goes, we're throwing it 50 times on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what? That makes a ton of sense for a lot of reasons. But then, okay, so who's the running back in when they're passing? And I agree with you. I think if I'm starting a Buccaneers running back and Ronald Jones is inactive, Keyshawn Vaughn would be my choice here. We're doing a sleeper segment at the end of the show, just sort of kind of a long shot. And Keyshawn Vaughn was going to be my choice. And then, like, but we just don't know what the status is of Ronald Jones. But if we knew for a fact that Ronald Jones were out, he would be my pick, because they do like him in the passing game as well.
That was his calling card in college, right? That was like when he finished up at Vanderbilt after playing at Illinois or Indiana. I should know that one.
Keyshawn Vaughn was at Vanderbilt.
He finished up at Vanderbilt, but was at Illinois. He was at Indiana before Vanderbilt.
Right.
Yeah, for 3 or 4 years.
I mean, and when I say they like him in the passing game, I think they like him more than Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
just showed up 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know that they love Keyshawn Vaughn in the passing game.
No, like, but that was when he did well in college. That was his calling card. So anyways, I mentioned that there are a bunch of COVID updates, and Stefania, the Bears are not going to have Justin Fields most likely on Sunday.
Yeah, it would appear that way. He was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday. So there is still the window, but I'm sure they're preparing for Andy Dalton in the event they do not have Fields.
Andy gets back on the field for what will probably be his last game with the Bears. A lot of changes expected this offseason. And Matthew, I
was going to say, gets on the field for the last game with the Bears. That would apply to a lot of people, I think, on that sideline, would be my guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a significant turnover in Chicago this offseason. We hope that, again, Justin Fields, same category of what we were talking about with Trevor Lawrence, right? Is that, like, I'm not going to read too much into what this season has looked like. I do think there have been some things that I expected a bit more of out of Justin Fields, but I also don't think that those things are unlikely to happen in the future. So as far as fantasy is concerned, like, it's only one guy you've been starting, if at all, in the passing game, and that's Darnell Mooney. And I don't know that Justin Fields or Andy Dalton is decidedly better or worse for Mooney's output. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I actually feel a little bit better about Allen Robinson with Dalton under center than Justin Fields, but I don't know that I'm starting Allen Robinson this week, given how disappointing it is. Like, look, you're starting David Montgomery. If you've been starting Darnell Mooney, you're going to start him. If you haven't been starting Darnell Mooney, this isn't the week to start.
Sure.
You know, and like, again, you know, Cole Kmet is one of many sort of tight end flyers that it's, you know, touchdown dependent, but we like Cole Kmet. So that'll be interesting to see in Chicago. The one thing I'll say about Justin Fields' rookie year is that I felt like with him, more than Trevor Lawrence at least, that there were moments of, they were like, aha.
I agree.
You know, I thought there were a lot of things he needs to work on, but there were moments of special. you know,
a touchdown run. I think it was against Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
which is on Monday night.
An unbelievable play.
Yeah, there are a couple of those moments. Yeah, and just like a
couple of throws. I'm not going to draw. Like, wow.
I think the only one that I've drawn a conclusion on is probably Mac Jones. Out of all five rookie quarterbacks, probably the only one. Like, I think Mac Jones is like, there were some who doubted he'd be a starter in the NFL. As crazy as that sounds, like some said, like, oh yeah, you're signing up for, you know, insert guy who got overdrafted, Jake Locker, or any of those quarterbacks who shouldn't have gone in the first round but did because of the positional need. And I think that he's quickly proved that assessment was not correct.
I think if you get, you know, if you throw a bunch of truth serum down Kyle Shanahan's throat and make him tell the truth, I think there's a chance he'd admit, you know, I should have gone with Mac Jones. There's the rumors, and the internet shamed me, and I went with Trey Lance. But I, you know what I mean? Jury's still out on Trey Lance, but you could certainly see Mac Jones in a Shanahan offense and running it well.
Let's keep things moving here with a couple more injury updates, Stefania, before we get into who's going to play and who's not going to play. It sounds like Baltimore might have yet another week with no Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson has practiced once in the last 25 days. Jameson Hensley, who covers the team, noted for us yesterday, still not practicing because of the ankle. Just really not sure what to tell you, other than clearly it's still a problem. And the one day that he did attempt to go out there, he didn't look good. Yeah. He didn't look right.
The Baltimore Ravens have a chance at the playoffs, but they need an absolute Hail Mary to get there. So they have to be smart about Lamar's long-term future. Lamar has to be smart about his own long-term future. He does not yet have a contract. Meanwhile, draft classmate Josh Allen has a $43 million per year contract. I think Josh Allen's a superior player, or at least, you know what? That's one of those things that if you say it, it's going to get skewered six ways to Sunday. I think Josh Allen is an elite quarterback. I think Lamar Jackson is also an elite quarterback. I am sure he is looking for money that is comparable to a Josh Allen-type extension. If your ankle is not 100% or not close to it, I'm not sure playing in a game that even if you win means nothing for your team's playoff picture is the best decision for you or your organization to make. Meanwhile, Stefania, a couple of running back updates. Let's start with a guy who we don't think will play but is back in Derrick Henry, and then a guy who may play in Cam Akers.
Yeah, so Derrick Henry is looking really good. I'm sure he's chomping at the bit. He's out there running. He's wearing a slightly modified cleat. Tron Davenport, who covers the team, if you want to see all the updates with great video clips of what these players are doing in practice, follow Tron Davenport. But Derrick Henry's out there running around. I know his foot feels good. This is one of those questions where the team's like, we want to balance the healing process with getting him back out there. Obviously huge for them for him to be able to play in the playoffs, but they'd really like to get a bye week and just buy him a couple of extra weeks. So I do not expect Derrick Henry to take the field this weekend. If you were looking for him for your fantasy championship week, that's not going to happen. I think he gets a little bit more rest. But a player who will play this weekend and might even surprise, it's surprising me as I'm telling you this, but I think Cam Akers is going to see the field more than I expected this weekend. He apparently looks fantastic. He was pushing to try and play last week, the team kind of holding him back. And, you know, as someone said to me, when a player's coming off of injury, you want them bothering you to play. You want them saying, I want to be out there, because it shows you that mentally, that especially when you're coming off something like an Achilles rupture, which is so devastating, they're not worried about that anymore. They just want to be back out there making plays. And I think the Rams are very excited to get him out there and get his feet wet before the playoffs. So I think Cam Akers will have a decent role this weekend. I think it will still be shared with Sony Michel, but I think he will be involved in both the running and the passing.
If only someone on this podcast mentioned that was an opportunity, that was a potential for him to play before the end of the season.
Okay, well.
Interesting. I don't recall that.
Should I take a victory lap now?
Yeah, please do.
Do you want me to do that?
You know what you should do is take a victory lap. You should run to the 7-Eleven down the street, grab us a couple of maybe like a victory apple cider champagne, and come back. That'll take you about 40 slurpee. Minutes.
You know when you can take it? After he actually plays on Sunday and we see it. And then you know what you can do? You can actually tip your cap to Lindsay Theory, because the only reason you have a victory lap to take is because of our friend Lindsay.
Because of my friend Lindsay Theory, who blew your text off but responded to mine. Absolutely, 1,000%. You know what I'm going to do, Stefania? I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to tell you this in front of all of our friends here in 0601 Nation. So that's fine. You know what I'm going to do? Because you and I, along with Field Yates and Booger and Chris Berman and a lot of people here at ESPN, we all watch football together on Sunday in the famed ESPN War Room.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do when Cam Akers takes that first snap, I'm going to get up out of my chair. I'm going to walk over to your table, and I'm going to do a victory lap around your table.
Just to set the scene.
That's what I'm
like
going to do.
It's like a first grade classroom.
That's what I'm going to do.
Because we have like assigned seats.
We have assigned seats and, you know, everyone's socially distant.
Part right. of it, it's really cute though, because Matthew and Field sit next to each other.
We do.
I prefer
best
to sit.
Best friends.
We are. Field and I need to be together at all times.
We sit in the back and have running commentary. But Matthew will get up from his assigned seat.
Yeah.
And walk over.
And I will do a victory lap around your table.
Walk around my That's table. That's right. And I'll film it for you.
It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. You show live on Instagram at that time.
Yeah.
So I would say this, just to put a pin in this conversation, if you're going to start a Rams running back, I still think I would prefer Sonny Michel 100%. Because there's an interpretation, right? Like he'll have a significant role with Cam Akers. I mean, significant relative to a normal running back workload or relative to a guy who tore his Achilles 5 months ago. Because if he plays 8 snaps on Sunday, like that would still be much more than we would have thought, you know, 5 months ago. So I think
it's a question, bigger than Field. That, but it's the usual caveat of anybody coming back from major injury, which is this is sort of what we have planned, but it all depends on the feedback that they're giving and getting throughout the course of the game. So if he looks good and he feels good and there are no issues, the role continues to grow.
But here's my question for you, Field. I think everyone is sort of like, okay, yeah, you're not starting Cam Akers, you know, in week 18 in a championship game, but are you concerned enough about the amount of work that Cam Akers might get to not play Sonny Michel?
I don't think so.
They're playing San Francisco. It's a tough run defense. They're third best against the run over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just think that a running back with so few, certainly, but with guys like Aaron Jones out or potentially out, we'll talk about more in a second. I think there are enough guys that are potentially out this weekend that I would still be sticking to Sonny Michel or sticking with Sonny Michel in my lineup. I think it's hard.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. But I think that's a question people are going to be wondering. And so I agree with you. I think if you're starting a Rams running back, it's Sonny Michel. And I think if I'd been starting Sonny Michel, I would probably lower expectations a little bit, but I would still start him. This is a game the Rams intend to play to win.
Let's rip through some players who may or may not play on Sunday. And we begin in Cincinnati, Stefania, where we have some clarity on the two Joes. Other than that, we're trying to figure things out.
Yeah, Joe Mixon placed on the reserve COVID-19 list on Wednesday, and it sounds like they don't think they will have him. But again, the time frame window does allow for it, so we'll see what the Bengals decide there. Joe Burrow is not going to play this week. That's a team decision. Remember, his knee was banged up at the end of last week. I mean, everybody says, yeah, he was dancing in the locker room. He's fine. But it's different than playing in a football game. And they've already secured home field advantage, so why not protect your quarterback, who also, by the way, is dealing with a pinky finger injury that has improved somewhat despite him continuing to play, but isn't 100%. So he's out practicing. I know he's throwing some balls today, and he's out there every day. But he is not going to actually play in the game this week.
They play the Browns on Sunday. No Baker Mayfield in that game for Cleveland as well. Samaje Perine, the next man up, a usable piece this weekend in your lineup if you have him or if you're able to pick him up off of the waiver wire. Green Bay, Stefania, playing for nothing other than pride as they have clinched home field advantage throughout the playoffs. What do we think that means for Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, maybe even A.J. Dillon?
Sounds like they're all going to play. Mm. I mean, this is a team where they're all pushing to play, and that's what Coach LaFleur said, is that these guys are wanting to get reps. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers, who usually takes a break early in the week because of the toe issue, without taking reps early in the week. They want to play. This is sort of their mindset, that they want to get on the field. I don't know if they'll go a whole game. I think that remains to be seen based on how the game evolves, but they certainly plan to start.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'm not buying it. Maybe, I mean, like if Green Bay goes up 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, what's the use in having them out there? Right. I mean, you've got the home field advantage already wrapped up. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but I would feel a little bit hesitant about expecting a normal full day for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers. Like, maybe you can still start Devontae if we get clarity he's playing, because one quarter of Devontae Adams could still result in like 5 catches for 40 yards and a touchdown, which would
be 15 fantasy points.
But I think if there are other options to consider, I would be mindful of those. Here's my best piece of advice is, let's wait till Sunday morning, because I think there's going to be, if they aren't going to play their guys more than just like a little bit, I bet we get that reporting on Sunday.
Yeah, I would think so as well. I think it's a tough one. The argument for playing, I think you'll see them play some. The reason is because it's going to be 2 weeks, right? If they don't play, if they miss this week, they're not playing next week because they have the bye. And so being off 2 weeks is a little tough, right? And so,
or even a few years ago, if you remember.
Yeah, right, exactly. So my expectation is they, yeah, I think a quarter, again, I'm guessing here. I'm 100% guessing.
So, yeah, totally.
Right? But feels unlikely that the Packers would play the full game here for all the, you know, for all the reason we said, but also feels unlikely that they completely set out. Hopefully we get some clarity. Again, Fantasy Bowl now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, all the way up till 12:55 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. We will hopefully have some reporting and clarity on this situation. Just understand that if you're starting a Packers player, it is risky territory.
There are a few quarterbacks to consider if we get some sort of indication that Aaron Rodgers won't play or won't play very much. Those include Carson Wentz. They play the Jaguars on Sunday, and I know it's very possible that they just run and steamroll through the Jacksonville Jaguars on the ground. I do have a feeling, though, that they want to build the confidence up of Carson Wentz a little bit after some shaky performances recently from their quarterback. Wouldn't surprise me if they let him throw it a bit on Sunday as well. Another one will be the 49ers starter, Stefania, but we don't know who that will be. Who do we think it will be on Sunday?
This is a hard one, and Kyle Shanahan has already said he is not going to announce it until game time. And right now, Jimmy Garoppolo is practicing, which, given the fact that he has a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his thumb, you know it hurts. He admitted it hurts. You should see what he said to the reporters covering the presser when they asked him how it felt. It was not suitable for family television. But nonetheless, he's still actually throwing the ball pretty well. And that's really what they want to see, is can he be effective? The problem is you get into a game and anything that tweaks the thumb is going to make it potentially impossible for him to continue. So I do think that based on the fact they feel like they have more things they can do, and this is such a must win for the 49ers, if Jimmy Garoppolo can play, I wouldn't be surprised if you see him. I wouldn't be surprised if you see both of them. Right. I mean, going back to the preseason and what they did, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some of that in the mix. It's very hard to know how this is going to unfold.
Yeah. See, again, back to this thing about coaches and not wanting to run their running backs into the ground. If you can utilize Trey Lance for 12 or 15 snaps, those might be the difference between Jimmy Garoppolo making it through the game and not making it through the game. And by the way, those 12 or 15 snaps could include a play where it's first and goal from the 4-yard line, and they say, hey, Trey, just take the ball, run to the left, follow Trent Williams, and score a touchdown. So a little sketchy about starting either of those two quarterbacks, given the uncertainty about who will be available and how available Jimmy G would be if he does play. Ben Roethlisberger, also a name to at least have on the radar. He's throwing the ball a ton this year. They play against Baltimore, who has been the second worst defense this season in terms of fantasy points per game allowed to opposing quarterbacks at nearly 20 per outing. Let's get to kind of a confidence check. And confidence is sort of like trust, and trust is a strong word. So I'm going to ask Matthew to try to sort of bear with me during this segment.
Yes, sir.
But Cordarrelle Patterson, who has been a very, very useful pickup off the waiver wire this year, has not been so great recently, as he has three straight weeks finishing as a non-top 30 running back. They play the Saints on Sunday, a Saints team who still has life in the playoff picture. They also are very good against opposing running backs. You confident starting Cordarrelle Patterson on Sunday?
No.
Okay, good. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I just, listen, it's been a great story for Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm really happy for him. Like, as you guys know, 7 years ago, I predicted this.
Right.
And so, like, if you didn't follow my advice from 7 years ago, it's on you. Like, if you missed out on the season, like, yeah. I can only lead you to water. I can't make you drink it.
Okay.
And so you should have been taking notes 7 years ago.
Okay.
But listen, look, I'm at 26. Consensus rankings have him at 24, so I'm slightly lower than consensus. It's a couple of things here. First off, he's had three straight weeks outside the top 30 of running backs, right? He just hasn't been used recently the way he has, the way he was earlier in the year. He's just not being used in the passing game, right? Last 3 weeks, he's running back 45 in total points. He's averaging just 10, or just over 10 touches a game, 10.7. To be exact, the two games prior to that, 17 touches. So again, workload's down. He's not getting involved in the passing game. And then you think about this matchup with the New Orleans Saints, who are the second best defense against running backs in terms of fewest fantasy points allowed. They're the seventh best run defense over the last 4 weeks. They're the third best pass defense over the last 4 weeks. They're the number one scoring defense in the last 4 weeks. So just, there's a lot of things here that just make you feel like, man, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson is a risky flex play to me. So is he a must start? Absolutely not. Could he get into the end zone? Sure. Again, I'm at 24 among running backs, But ideally in your flex, you're playing a wide receiver this week.
I still cannot get over how much Elijah Mitchell has played for the 49ers since returning from injury. He, I thought, would cede some work to both Deebo Samuel and also Jeff Wilson Jr. Well, Deebo's still gotten his, Matthew, but Jeff Wilson Jr. has evaporated into thin air since Elijah Mitchell returned. He's been exceptional. They play the Rams on Sunday, as we all know. And the last time these two teams played, the 49ers just eviscerated Los Angeles. I've got confidence in Elijah Mitchell. How about you?
I do too, as well. Last week, first week back, you know, we were like, well, how much, what's the workload? He was the eighth best running back in fantasy last week, right? He's finished each of his past three games inside the top 15 among running backs. He's had at least 23 touches in each of the past four games here. This is a game San Francisco needs to win. It's an important game for the 49ers here, right? I mean, so like we expect them to go all out to try to win this game.
Yeah.
He's at running back 13 for me. I think he is a high-end RB2 this week.
On Saturday night, the Eagles play the Dallas Cowboys. That game is on ESPN and ABC. That's our customary Monday Night Football broadcast booth. We'll have that game. The great team of Kirk Herbstreit plus Chris Fowler and Laura Rutledge ready out there on Saturday in Denver for the Kansas City and Broncos game. Looking forward to both of those broadcasts. The Eagles have something to play for, I suppose, technically. Like, I think it's possible they can move down to the sixth seed, but it seems likely that they're more motivated by staying healthy on Sunday. So playing Jalen Hurts is a bit of risk. Saturday, excuse
me. By the way, two things. In addition to that, okay. Yeah, they can either be the sixth, as I understand
six
it,
or
they,
seven,
they can because, be the sixth or seventh seed.
They're
on the road. They're on the road for the first round of the playoffs. Like, they're not playing for a home playoff game here. Yep. They've had a ton of COVID players placed on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Yep.
So there's that. And by the way, the way it all works out, there's a chance they play the Cowboys the next week in the playoffs.
Wow.
That they actually could, that the way it all works out, there's that's certainly within the realm of possibility. So if you're Nick Sirianni, are you like, man, winning this game doesn't mean anything. I got a bunch of players on the COVID list. I don't want anyone to get hurt, especially, by the way, I'm going to have to play these guys. Potentially, I'm going to have to play these guys in a week. I'm not showing them my best stuff.
That's good. Yeah. So, anyways,
I mean? Like, that Gardner leads us Minshew, to the conversation.
Yeah. So,
do whatever you want.
Well, he could play. So, I think if you do start a Jalen Hurts or somebody like that from the Philadelphia offense, a normal starter, there is some risk involved. So sort of just tread lightly if you're going to be starting Jalen Hurts on Saturday.
Especially because, by the way, not a good matchup.
Mm.
Cowboys are really good defense. They played really well defense. Now, Jalen Hurts has been fairly matchup proof here. But again, given the issues that he's had with the ankle recently, like, are they really running Jalen Hurts, you know, into the end zone?
Well, part of the reason why they may because they won't have
Miles Sanders.
That's right, Stephanie. No Miles Sanders, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like Tampa Bay and trying to field to find any running back to play for them this week. And Miles Sanders still out with a broken hand. He's already been ruled out. And this game is on Saturday, remember? So one less day to clear the reserve COVID-19 list. Although Boston Scott and Jordan Howard were both placed on the list on Monday. So technically there's enough time for them to come back. But as of right now, Kenneth Gainwell, the only healthy running back.
So we'll have hopefully some more updates in terms of the players coming back today and then again tomorrow.
I do think Kenneth Gainwell becomes sort of an interesting DFS play. I don't know that I would want to trust him in a championship game, but certainly in a tournament format. Kenneth Gainwell becomes interesting here. Look, that's the thing, is we talk about these teams that like, they're going to play their starters, they're not motivated. They still have to play the game. Mm. You still got a 53-man roster. They're still going to have to put some people out there. And so, like, you sit there and you think, well, no Miles Sanders, and they're going to want to – Jordan Howard's been banged up. You could see Kenneth Gainwell getting a decent amount of work in this one against Dallas. Worth noting, by the way, since week 12, Jalen Hurts been quarterback 14 on a per-game basis. I know we're talking about the running backs here, but it's just like again, it sort of depends on where you are and what reporting we get between now and Sunday at 1 o'clock. But I'd probably be looking elsewhere for a quarterback instead of Jalen Hurts this Sunday.
Let's move forward to a couple other players in this game. Well, one specifically, Dalton Schultz for the Cowboys, who's been good all year, right? Probably the most impressive breakout tight end of the NFL this season, unless you consider what Mark Andrews has done, breaking out to a different level.
He's a rookie,
but he's been solid. But Dalton Schultz
broke out.
He's been a rookie. He's a rookie, so I suppose there was nowhere to go but breakout. But also, like, Dalton Schultz has been more productive than Freiermuth, who's been, he's like a journeyman, right? Like, you don't think that's more unlikely? A second-round pick? Second-best athlete in the history of Brooks School?
Yeah. I mean, no, dude, Freiermuth was a sleeper for a number of people. So no, I don't think we're defining breakout differently.
Okay.
Defining breakout differently. I would argue Pat Freiermuth is going to be drafted next year easily as a tight end one.
Okay. I agree with that. Yeah.
But I would, so would Schultz. Schultz is certainly, we came into the year as Dalton Schultz. Is it Blake Jarwin? Is it going to be a committee? And Schultz has been terrific this year. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
Dawson Knox too.
Yeah. Those are a couple guys that come to mind. In any event, the point I was going to make on Dalton Schultz is that the Cowboys could be in a situation where they say, hey, let's be mindful of the full postseason ahead. Let's rest some of our starters.
We also, we might be playing the Eagles next week.
Right, but the Cowboys lost last week. Got an old school coach, Mike McCarthy. And I do think some of these decisions, I wouldn't say that there's a line in the sand drawn, but like there's a little bit of an old school versus maybe like newer age mentality with some of these. And Mike McCarthy, old school coach, I don't know that Dallas wants to go into the playoffs, losing to Arizona last week, and then potentially sort of waving the white flag on Saturday night in a game against a division rival. They haven't played well down the stretch. Wouldn't surprise me if they play their guys on Saturday night to get some mojo back, to feel like this is a team that can go the whole way to the Super Bowl. So along those lines, I think Dalton Schultz plays. And again, he's been really good all year. Yeah. He's a top six tight end.
Before you move on from the Cowboys, because I see we have Dallas defense listed on our sheet, I would just note Micah Parsons has already been ruled out because he's on the reserve COVID-19 list. And Teron Diggs, it's questionable because of a non-COVID illness. So their defense won't be at full strength either.
Yeah, and their offensive line will not be, as Tyron Smith, their left tackle, also been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list as well. Let's get to a couple others that are sort of like kind of coin flippy. This one I think is interesting. Russell Wilson, who plays the Cardinals on Saturday down in Arizona. No weather concerns there, that much is for sure. He was great last week. He had his best game of the season, 27.8 fantasy points, Matthew. But I think that the fact that we're asking about Russell Wilson in week 18 is just sort of a summary, the epitome of his full year, which has been not Russell Wilson.
No, and it is not.
Quick soapbox here for a second.
Yes, sir. Go for it.
You know, I get it. I get why he's saying what he's saying. But yesterday, again, Russ talked about how he hopes he's a Seahawk next year. He hopes he is. Russell Wilson, also an owner of a no trade clause in his contract. You realize that you decide whether you're a Seahawk next year, right? Like when you hope
he's got a guaranteed contract.
Guaranteed contract and a no trade clause. So like, Russ, just a reminder, it's your decision. The ball's in your court here, right? Like if Seattle says we're trading you to Tampa Bay for Tom Brady and 19 first round picks, all you got to do is say no.
Right.
And that trade is off. So we all know where this is heading. It's going to be an offseason of speculation up in Seattle. It has not been Russ's best year. I think there's plenty of good football ahead in Russell Wilson's future, Matthew, but it's not been a good year for him. That was a tangent, but I think on Sunday it's a decision about starting him against Arizona.
Yeah, I haven't been running back. I am a quarterback 11.
Okay.
I get it. It has not been Russ's year, and you know, certainly I feel for the beat reporters in Seattle trying to cover, because I agree with you. I think Russell Wilson is genuinely a nice guy, but talking out of both sides of his mouth a little bit in terms of like, I wouldn't mind a trade to these four teams, but no. I plan to be a Seahawk, but I hope I'm a Seahawk next year. But also, I think he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. As it relates to Arizona, though, what I will tell you is that Russell Wilson does have multiple touchdown passes in five of the past six games. I was encouraged by the fact that he had 24 rushing yards last year. Maybe he's going to start using his legs a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also encouraged by a couple other things. While their defense has played better recently, it hasn't been great. The over-under in this game is one of the highest on the Week 18 slate. I think they're going to have to throw to keep up with Arizona. It is worth noting, over the last 4 weeks, the Arizona Cardinals 8th against the run, but 22nd against the pass. So my expectation here is that the way Seattle moves the ball in what should be a high-scoring game is through the air. I know Rashad Penny has been nothing short of spectacular so far this year, and I think you can still start him. But I guess I'm more, again, I'm at 11, so I don't have him as a starter in a 10-team league, but I'm a little more bullish on him than you are.
Okay, fair enough.
But I understand the questions, by the way. And if you were in the last week of your finals with Russell Wilson as your quarterback, it's because you're really strong everywhere else, because it has certainly been an up and down year fantasy-wise for Mr. Unlimited.
For anybody that has or is watching on the video live stream right now, Russell Wilson has the fiercest headshot of any player in the NFL.
He really does.
That is like, that looks like it has been, he's, you know, when you get, when you, I don't know if you still get magazines, but when people used to get magazines back in the day and they had those ads where there was a little bit of cologne like taped to the page and you just had to unfold it. It always had like a really fierce, intense looking model. And then you'd like open up that person's arm and you could like smell whatever the various cologne. You know what I'm talking about? You're a big cologne guy.
Yeah, vaguely.
Stefania knows what I'm talking about.
Am I sniffing men in magazines? No. Did I ever do that? No.
It was the sniff sound effect that got me. Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Because now I'm picturing Field like opening
up. Matthew's sitting here like this after getting out of the shower, just like, hey, get the magazine. Hey, you know, outdoor living. Like, good housekeeping. Let me throw.
Exactly. He does have, it's a very fierce headshot. He's got some blue steel going on.
Yeah, blue steel's hair, blue steel. $1 million. Well done. Yeah. Anyways, a couple more questions here, just real quick, because I think the cool part that we can have some fun with at the end of the show is our all or nothing picks, which I think are really interesting. So, Devin Singletary, top 10 play for us. That to me is, you're playing Devin Singletary. He's been so good. The Bills have a lot to play for on Sunday to play the Jets. Ramondre Stevenson is an interesting one, Stefania, because Damian Harris has been limited again this week due to a hamstring injury. He didn't play much at the end of last week's game either.
I mean, I think it's hard to know, right, because of the situation of the game versus the hamstring issue. Maybe it's a combination of the two, and they made a decision to just not let him go that much. We talked about how he spoke with the media afterwards and said he was good, and limited practices in New England don't really tell you much anyway, because we see that all the time, even when they're still getting ready to use guys.
So. I suspect he'll play.
I think that's one of those Sunday morning and we try and get a feel for what the split will be.
So Matthew, would you play Ramondre Stevenson or is it only if Damian Harris sits?
I think it's only if Damian Harris splits, sits going up against Miami. You know, look, Dolphins have played really good football recently. I think you can run on them easier than you can run on that. I think you can run on the Dolphins easier than you can throw on them. Okay. But this is a game, the game's in Miami. This is a game that has traditionally given the Patriots trouble.
Weird stuff happens for them in December in Miami.
Right. It's weird. Even in years in which Tom Brady and the Patriots were rolling and the Dolphins were terrible, this game always gives them trouble. I don't know what it is, but the late season the game play, against Miami. What?
The Miami Miracle a few years ago.
Yeah, of course.
That they that Kendrick Drake had the last second like 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Imagine the Patriots won the Super Bowl that year. But if that hadn't happened, like remember that, I'm pretty sure that cost the Patriots a chance at a first round bye. Like it could have changed the narrative that season. The Patriots just win the Super Bowl because they're the Patriots. But like that was one of those plays that I remember being in the war room. That's got to be one of like the 3 to 5 most memorable reactions.
Oh, yeah.
Of the war room since I've been sitting there.
Crazy.
People were like, oh my, the best one this year was when the Lions won. Like that's so recency bias has me thinking about that one. But war, that was going nuts when that happened. Oh my gosh.
It was a massive play. And so anyway, it's a weird, if Damian Harris starts, the expectation here is that Damian Harris gets a decent workload here. You'll see some Brandon Bolden as well. If Damian Harris sits, I'm starting Ramondre Stevenson, but I ranked Ramondre Stevenson, assuming Damian Harris plays, and I ranked Ramondre at 32. So I am as a running back 4 if Damian Harris is active in this game against a plucky Dolphins defense.
I'm going to mention one more player before we get into our all or nothing, and that's Zay Jones, who I suppose could be in the all or nothing conversation, but he's been good recently. He's got four straight games with 7 or more targets. He's got double-digit fantasy points in like 4 of his past 5 games. He has become a vital part of an offense that throws the ball a ton. It's him and Hunter Renfrow amongst pass catchers. The only thing I would note is that there sounds like there's a chance to find you that they will have Darren Waller on Sunday, at least a chance, right?
Yeah, we're saying there's a chance.
Okay.
You know, but it would be the first time in how many weeks has it been? I don't even know off the top of my head. Also, when you're seeing him out there for the first time, if he does play, I mean, you want to trust in Darren Waller, but this has been a really tough injury because it's not just his knee, it's also been his back.
Yeah.
Be hard to bench Darren Waller if he's active. What options do you have that have as much upside as Darren Waller? It's certainly risky, but I think if I have Darren Waller, unless you have like an elite option, I'm starting Darren Waller.
Right.
He'd been dealing with an iliotibial band. And the reason why I know that is because my recent crossword hint was the largest bone attached to the pelvis or below the pelvis or the maybe it was the first bone below the pelvis, and I knew it because it was ilia. And I knew that because Stefania.
Oh, okay, I got it. Yeah, I was like, Stefania, where are we? Wait, so the IT band's not a bone, just
yeah.
to be clear.
Yeah, yeah, but you taught me about the ilia, which is a bone.
You do the crossword? Are you a big crossword guy? You do the crossword
every day? Well, I'm trying to decrease my, I mean, I do. Have you guys been doing Wordle or no?
I know, I do the I do the word jumble.
Okay.
That's sort of
no, but you guys, have you guys been doing Wordle or no?
No, I see all these tweets about Wordle. I don't know about Wordle, but I do like the crossword.
I mean, I've done Wordle for 3 days. I think it's really fun, so go try it. Just Google Wordle, W-O-R-D-L. It's really, really fun.
You know what, Matthew, if you want to start, you can start with the mini crosswords. New York Times has a mini. Oh, yeah. You can do it's like
I just,
five.
I go
just
to the
like
kids section.
Yeah.
And I just crush the New York Times. Crush
the kids section of the New York Times.
Well, not the New York Times, but like,
whatever.
Right? When Matthew goes to a restaurant, he gets the crayons and like the special menu. He gets the color in the lines.
I find Jane like almost every time. Just, you know, people ask me where's Waldo. Spot you don't know where Waldo is? I can find him. Yeah. Just ask me. Stefania, I crush that too.
Stefania, the Jets have a problem right now at wide receiver because Elijah Moore has been banged up recently.
Yep.
And
Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, Braxton Berrios.
Not
tell
going
me more.
To play. This just out from Rich Cimini and Robert Saleh said yesterday that it was not looking good for Braxton Berrios. Elijah Moore is going to remain on IR. So Braxton Berrios, who was a long shot, right? Our fantasy long shot and had an amazing game.
Sure.
Unfortunately, that did him in, and he has a quad injury, hasn't been able to practice, so we will not see him this week.
He was not the official long shot, just to be clear. Jared Patterson was the official long shot for me last week, but we didn't mention him in the long shot section as this is somebody else we considered. And Mike Clay had him in the DFS segment as a great play, especially for the price, and that was a terrific call.
Let's move forward here. So I guess if you're going to start a Jets wide receiver, I think it's Jameson Crowder, but I think
he's questionable.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Keelan Cole?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, good luck is what I would say. You're playing against the Bills on Sunday up in Buffalo. Let's go to our all or nothing
flyers.
I think your
best chance is to look elsewhere. So maybe one of these players.
That's right. All or nothing. The premise is pretty simple. You could get 15 fantasy points from this player. You could get zero. You have no idea. There probably isn't much of a middle ground. Matthew, you go first.
Yeah, and I'm choosing the Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Antoine Wesley, who has played in place of DeAndre Hopkins. Big, tall wide receiver, played for Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. There's a familiarity there, obviously. He's getting a decent amount of snaps. He saw a target on 23—Thirsty Kyle pulled this. He saw a target on 23.8% of his routes, which is a higher rate than Christian Kirk last week. Arizona had four end zone targets last week. Two of them went to Wesley. He's had multiple end zone targets in three straight. And six of the Cardinals' 12 end zone targets over that stretch. Listen, he's a big, tall guy. It makes sense. He's a nice, big target here. Week 17, last week at Dallas, right? Four catches for 30 yards. He did score the two touchdowns. He had five targets. You know, so listen, my expectation here is that he's been scoring. I think he gets an increased role here. It's a nice matchup with Seattle. We talked about this game earlier in the show. It's one of the higher over-unders of the week. So, yeah. Give me as my all or nothing pick. I'm going with Antoine Wesley.
My all or nothing pick is Christian Wilkerson, who was the Patriots' top wide receiver last week and the ninth best wide receiver in fantasy. Now, worth noting that Wilkerson stepped up and played more because the Patriots were without Nelson Aguilar, who has returned to practice. He's been in concussion protocol since taking a big hit a few Saturdays ago, I believe, against the Indianapolis Colts. So, catch my breath there. If Aguilar plays on Sunday, maybe this diminishes the role for Wilkerson, but I don't know. You said all or nothing, right? So Wilkerson, who last week seemed to have an instant rapport with Mac Jones, he got two touchdowns. He had a team-high eight targets. You feel like rolling the dice. I know it's not a great matchup through the air against Miami, but the Patriots could use a bit more wide receiver depth, and Wilkerson gave it for them last week. Stefania, bring us on home.
And my all-or-nothing pick is wide receiver Marquez Callaway for the New Orleans Saints. Look, the Saints are in a must-win situation this week, and what better time to be a wide receiver on the rise than for your final week of fantasy playoffs? Last week, he had a season-high 10 targets, ended up with 6 catches, 97 yards, 15.7 fantasy points. 2 weeks before that, he had 17.2 fantasy points. He and Taysom Hill developing a nice little rapport. And again, the Saints playing Atlanta. And against Atlanta, he caught a touchdown pass in the Saints' first meeting with Atlanta. So Marquez Callaway, I think this could be a good week for him, all or nothing.
He has been better of late. I certainly had a great preseason as well. A reminder, we are back on Monday for a final award show, the 10 most prestigious awards in the world. But before then, you can get Fantasy Football Now, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2.
Yeah, for one last time, by the way, rotopass.com. Get a full year of RotoPass from right now all the way until this time next year. ESPN Plus plus five other great sites for best ball, for dynasty, for you know, offseason movement, for DFS in the playoffs because they got DFS optimizers. It's absolutely, it's a terrific deal.
Do you have word jumbles?
We don't have word jumbles. We don't. You'll
make 2022 the best year ever with a purchase of RotoPass.
There you go.
I appreciate
that. RotoPass.com. Check that out. And last thing here. Thirsty Kyle notes that Jameis Winston has four more touchdown passes than Trevor Lawrence on 409 fewer pass attempts.
That is ridiculous. He's Matthew. She's Stefania. He's Kyle. I am Field. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Sunday morning, Fantasy Football Now. We'll see you then. Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host and everybody knows his name. He's Field Yates.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.